Learning to lean, learning to lean, learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to broken-hearted, so often I've knelt and I've found God's peace so serene. And all that He asks is a childlike trust and a heart that is learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. There's glorious victory each day now for me. I found His peace so serene. He helps me with each task, if only I'll ask. Every day now I'm learning to
keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for your love. How grateful we are for your plan. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, for the peace, joy, and confidence we have. Regardless of the circumstances of the world or in our own lives, we know that you're in control. And Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Good morning. This is Spring Valley Bible Church, and we are in the midst of studying Ephesians chapter 1. Now, let's talk about prayer requests a little bit. A faithful member of ours, Cindy Edwards, lives in Wichita Falls, Texas, but very faithful to us, needs your prayers severely, fervently. So please be in prayer for Cindy Edwards at this time. Also, my good friend Jody and his wife Kim Brown, pastor, Atlanta Church in Atlanta, Indiana, need your prayers. They have both been diagnosed with COVID-19. Please be in prayer. God will touch them and heal their body if it be fitting to his plan. Continue being in prayer for Nick Daig. He needs your prayers. It's a continual battle with Nick. Especially at this time, people, he's very sensitive. His immune system, his lungs and all. So please be in prayer for Nick. Be in prayer for Chris and Laura Daig and Ben Daig, Christopher Daig. And just be in prayer for them, people. Be in prayer for all of our youth. Our youth need your prayers. It's interesting to watch the development, COVID-19. Some young people are getting it and dying. I understand that many have it and don't even know they have it. Please be in prayer for our young people. They need your prayers. Be in prayer for one another here at Spring Valley Bible Church. We don't get to meet, and I miss that so very much. I'm a pastor teacher. I'm a shepherd. I miss you people. I miss looking at you, seeing you very much. So let's be in prayer for one another. Get the prayer list. Get the prayer list that Leslie sends out. So please be in prayer for one another. People, be in prayer for the outreach of Spring Valley Bible Church. This is a whole new outlet for us. We have missionaries. We have the internet. We have a few publications. A few things like this. But people, now we have a new outreach. Facebook and YouTube. Please be in prayer that God can use these things to the honor and glory of Christ, the teaching of His Word, to those who want to learn His Word. So please be in prayer. Now, I know there's a lot of talk about on TV every day the number of people dying of COVID-19. And my prayers go out every time I hear that. But let me tell you something, people. I want to take you to a wonderful servant of God, the Voice of the Martyrs magazine. Let me read to you just one story, what's going on in India. There are a lot of stories here. Let me read to you about a story in India. A new believer persecuted over rumors of paid conversions. People, please love your freedom in America. Value it. Vote for it. Arav had suffered with a chronic illness for many years. And after seeking treatment for more than a decade, his family had incurred a lot of debt. When Arav's daughter and another of his children dropped out of school to work and help the family, Arav's daughter met a local minister through her job cleaning houses. After the minister learned of her father's illness, he shared the gospel with her, and she soon placed her faith in Jesus Christ. Arav's daughter then invited the minister to their home, and he eagerly shared the good news with the entire family. Arav and his family all came to faith in Jesus Christ, and Arav gradually began to experience a healing. Recently, as the minister visited Arav's family for their weekly meeting, Satan cannot have this, about 50 members of the militant Hindu group gathered outside Arav's house and began shouting and banging on the doors. The pastor called the police, who came and told the mob that nothing improper was happening in the house. The police said nothing improper is going on, but the Hindus were not satisfied. The police eventually, listening to the mob, took Arav and the pastor to the police station for questioning, took their contact information, and said they would call them if they needed anything else. The situation seemed resolved until local news media reported, and this is local media, reported that Arav and the pastor had been taken to the police station. The news reported included false allegations that Christians had been paying Hindus to convert. The Hindu militants, further angered by the news report, demanded that Arab be expelled from his village. As a result, he and his family were evicted from their home. Leaders demanded immediate payment of the loans, and Arav's longtime client told him he would no longer purchase milk from him. Life has become a standstill for these poor villagers, all because they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As a frontline worker, the family is very sad and worried. We need to stand urgently in prayers with them. There's a story of Laos, worship prohibited due to too many Christians. There's another story in Pakistan, Christian laborer beaten for leading a Muslim to Christ. Beaten just because he led the Muslim to Jesus Christ. In fact, in Pakistan right now, you can read the news, Pakistan right now is not giving any aid, any food, any aid to any Christian. All food and aid must be given to Muslims, no Christians. I know we need to be in prayer for those COVID-19. Those you know, those I know, like Jody and Kim Brown. But people, please pray for Christians all over the world, especially in countries where they're persecuted. Pray for them. Pray for God's love, power to shine through. And love your freedom you enjoy in America. Love the peace that you enjoy in America. Now, there's been a lot of talk about China in the news. Let me read to you something. By the way, I'm reading from a wonderful paper. I highly recommend it, the Epoch, E-P-O-C-H, Times. Several years ago, I stopped dropped my subscription to the Dallas Morning News, which was so liberal, so anti-America, anti-freedom, anti-Trump, anti-Republicans, anti-anything good, pro-everything evil and bad. So I just dropped it. This is a great paper. Epic Times. It comes out right now once a week. It is a great newspaper. And I'm reading Diana Zhang, Z-H-A-N-G. I'm not going to read the entire article, but I want to read to you the beginning of this article. It's always been a mystery to me as to why America dealt with Soviet Union as an evil communist regime, but treated China as a mild one that could be bought with money and a good lifestyle. We thought we were rich enough, powerful enough, and attractive enough to change China into a normal society, such as one in the free world. Instead, the business and investment from the United States, and money we just give them, have made the Chinese Communist Party, the Chinese Communist Party, CCP, stronger. The Communist Chinese Communist Party is like a cancer that sucks nutrition from a healthy organ to become a bigger threat to the whole body. The spread of the Chinese Communist virus around the world shows us how dangerous the CCP is. It is contagious. It is invisible. It is deadly. It is a threat to everyone on this planet. And the lady goes on to explain a lot of these points of view. People, please be in prayer for America. Satan likes to use disasters, tribulations like COVID-19 to further his own plan. So do the Democrats. want to limit freedom. Freedom to own guns, freedom of worship, a lot of freedoms. When this is over, people, we're going to have to be vigilant to regain freedoms and to keep them. Ronald Reagan said, the loss of freedom is just from one generation to the next. It's got to be maintained by each generation. That's you and me, people. We've got to maintain the freedom we enjoy in America. The freedom to worship where we please. The freedom to pray in schools. The freedom to tell others of Christ without any fear. People, we need this freedom. Please be in prayer for our president, vice president, staff, for America. Now, can't take an offertory. Only have three people here. Can't keep dunning them for money. But I know money's tight for every one of you. I know that. But if you can spare a few shekels, we need it. We've got the internet. We've got YouTube, Facebook. We've got missionaries. We've got the rent. We've got bills. If you can spare a few shekels, please mail them to Spring Valley Bible Church, Post Office Box 833-007. 833-007, Richardson, Texas. I live in Plano. The church is in Dallas. The mailbox is in Richardson. Kind of get everybody involved. 75083. Post Office Box 833-007, Richardson, Texas, 75083. You can spare a few shekels. We'd appreciate it. And you can also pay by PayPal. Is that right, Jude? You can also pay by PayPal. Okay. Let's begin our study this morning in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. But before we start, let's go to the throne of God in prayer. This is not a traditional ritual prayer. It's a very important prayer. It's time for you to test yourself. See if you're trusting the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. I'm not the true teacher. As I said before, God could put a rock up here and do a far superior job than I can do. But He appointed me. But the true teacher is the Holy Spirit. So you want to be in His power, that He can open up the truth of Scripture to you. So let's spend a moment in prayer, testing ourselves to see if we're trusting in the Spirit, getting ready to worship God in the study of His Word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this assembly. I'm so thankful for everyone who's listening. Thankful, Father, that we have these means. I'm so thankful to Julie and Brian Cooper. I'm down here this morning on their way to Oklahoma for work to get us out, the message out. And Father, I pray that Your Spirit will open our eyes to things You would have us to see and to understand in the passage before us. Father, I pray these things in Christ's name, and for His sake and glory. Amen. Okay, we're in the midst of studying Ephesians chapter 1. It's a great book to be studying at this time. The book of Ephesians is a great book. It's written to believers. It warns us of a spiritual warfare. It is low. I encourage you to do what I have to do. And that's just to sit down one day and just read Ephesians 1 through 6. Read it all at one time. See the flow, the whole flow. One of the, verse by verse is the way that I firmly believe a pastor should teach the Word of God. But you lose one thing when you do that. You lose the continuity and the flow of the whole book. So read it, the whole book together. It's written to believers. It's warning of a spiritual warfare. It is loaded with what God has already done for every believer and what God is doing for every believer. to live in the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, what I want to do right now is to read the first 4.5 verses and then move into our study. Verse 1. I, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. So much is involved in that, but what I want you to see here is the grace and love of God and His concern for the church. Began the church age with divinely appointed apostles to give us the divinely inspired Word of God. I wish Christians valued the Word of God and studied it under the divinely appointed men. Continuing, to the saints, here's another blessing of God. Everyone who has believed in Jesus Christ is a saint. Now, you may not live like a saint, you may not look like a saint, you may not smell like a saint, but if you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a saint before God. See? That's what you are. Who are at Ephesus? Context, to Ephesus. Application, all believers throughout the entire church age. Who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. People, please give thanks every day for the grace and the peace that God gives us. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me just stop. I hope you're prayer warriors. I hope you're praying every day throughout the day. It doesn't have to be a big ceremony. You don't have to go in a closet and get on your knees. You can pray anytime throughout the day. But one of the most beautiful things about prayer is that we say, Father. Have you ever thought why you can do that? We do that because He is the Father of Jesus Christ, and God has put every one of us in Christ, so therefore Christ becomes our Father. It's a privilege to pray to God the Father because of who you are in Christ. See? In the power of the Spirit, we can pray. He leads us and guides us, gives us the power to pray to God the Father, and we have this right because of our position in Christ. Okay. Who is the faithful? Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That is so powerful, it's going to come up throughout this book. Heavenly places in Christ. Every blessing. Everything you need to glorify Christ, you have. You can't say, well, I didn't have the IQ. I didn't have a singing voice. I don't either. I didn't have this. I didn't have that. No. Everything you and I need for God's purpose for us, you are supplied with by God. Every blessing that you and I would need, and is supplied to us because of our position in Christ. Now, verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Doctrine of election. And please remember that election places us in Christ. No one is elected outside of Christ. No one. An unbeliever comes and he says, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. God puts him into Christ and elects us in Christ. That's where the election takes place. By the way, you can get the Doctrine of Election on the Spring Valley Bible Church website. We go to listen and go to the Sunday morning Ephesians, and then Kit Sheehan has put into PDF files all the various doctrines, and you can pull up the complete doctrine of election, that we would be holy and blameless before Him, not experientially, but positionally before God. Every one of us are holy and blameless. Now here, I like one of the verses I first learned as a child. Jude chapter 1. Jude. Where in the world is Jude? If you can find the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, you can find Jude. Jude is just before the book of Revelation, and it's one chapter. Excuse me. Jude chapter 1, verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only wise God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Now back to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. In love, he predestinated us. Now, here you got to remember, like election, predestination, you're not predestined to believe in Christ. That's Calvinism. That's evil. It's false. As soon as Martin Luther set Christians free with the Reformation, with Scripture only, salvation only, grace only, faith only, Satan couldn't stand that. So he went over to Switzerland and got a hold of a man named John Calvin, not educated, John Calvin, and got Calvin to put out with his great teaching that you're elected to be in Christ, you're predestined to be in Christ or not. People, that is a blasphemous doctrine. What kind of God do you have that he created a being and predestined that being to an eternal lake of fire? That is not God. God is not willing that any should perish. And if anyone spends eternity in a lake of fire, it's by their own choice. They chose not to believe in Jesus Christ, not to accept the love of God, but to dwell eternally in a lake of fire. They choose to be there, not God. So predestined, you're predestined in Christ, in Christ. A couple of lessons ago, we dealt with the Greek as a circle, and in is inside the circle. It didn't say under Christ, it said in Christ. See? That's where predestination takes place. Now, we go to the next phrase. In love. So you got to understand the love of God. You've got to understand his love, and we have that on the internet. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Christ Jesus to himself. And that brought us to the doctrine of adoption. Now, Kit Sheehan has put in PDF file on March the 8th in the study of Ephesians the doctrine of adoption. Last Sunday, we were able to get through point one, and I'm just going to go through that very quickly and get to point two. But you can download and print out the entire doctrine of adoption on SpringValleyBibleChurch.org under Ephesians chapter 1 on March the 8th there. So you can get this. Now, the following is from a multitude of sources: the Complete Word Study Dictionary, the New Unger's Bible Dictionary, Evangelical Dictionary of Theology, notes from R.B. Thieme, and notes from Dallas Theological Seminary, and whatever the Holy Spirit has stuck in for my own study. Now, point one. Start with a biblical definition of adoption from Unger. The placing of a son. See, most people think adoption as God adopted us as unbelievers to be in Christ. No, no, no. This biblical understanding of adoption is the adoption of a son, one who is already in the family. See? The admission of a person to some or all of the privileges of natural kingship. See? This is what adoption does. And we studied that, and we looked at Psalm 2, verse 7, and other places. Now we resume this morning at major point 2. In the New Testament, the teaching on adoption is strictly Pauline, by Paul. To grasp correctly what the biblical teaching of adoption is, we need to take a look at a principle of interpretation scripture called eisegagics. Ooh, that's a funny word. Eisegagics. Say it slow. Say eisegagics. Say it eisegagics. I-S-A-G-O-G-I-C-S. Which is the introductory study of external history of the Bible. The eisegagical principle here is that the Bible must be interpreted in the time in which it was written. The noun adoption used in Ephesians 1:5 refers to a well-established Roman custom, by the Romans at Paul's time, beginning of the century. It was a custom that started in the Republic and continued through the Empire. Under that custom, the son was placed under slaves and teachers during the minority. There was a child. Through his minority, he would be trained and taught studies, athletics, and military. These slaves were well paid and respected for what they taught. The sons of Roman patriarchs, Roman senators, Roman aristocrats, and high Roman military officials. Now, understand these young boys were the natural offspring of their parents. They were not adopted, in most cases, in the sense of our modern English custom. But the time he reached 13 or 14, he had graduated from a system of intensive training and teaching and discipline from his teachers. God has given us the privilege of getting this from our parents. You get that? Intensive training, teaching, and discipline from the parents. But they got it from these teachers, much more difficult than our young people do today. Somewhere around 14, 15, the son graduated from the discipline and was now recognized as an adult member of society. The official ceremony was called by the same word we have here in Ephesians 1:5, called adoption. Jewish custom still has a similar custom called bar mitzvah for boys, bat mitzvah for girls, after which they are accountable for their actions in the eyes of the Jewish community. Once they reach that point, a Jewish boy or girl, at that point on, they're responsible for their decisions. The Roman custom for adoption was quite extensive. But by this adoption, the boy, and I'm not going to go through all of that, the boy was now at the point where he could marry, manage his own estate, enter politics. He was now recognized as an adult. The basic concept of the ceremony was freedom to function as an adult citizen in the Roman Empire. And people, that was quite a privilege. This is part of what is hidden in such passages as Galatians 5:13. Let's read Galatians 5:13. If you have your printout, Kid has put it in here for you. For you were called to freedom, brethren, believers, only do not use your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, spiritual love, serve one another. Now that brings us to major point three. To fully grasp and appreciate what happened to us when we were adopted by God, we must relate eisegagics, interpreting the Bible at the time it was written, with which we have just studied, to etymology. Etymology, E-T-Y-M-O-L-O-G-Y, is the linguistic study of a word, tracing its development from its earliest occurrences. Paul did not originate this word, but it occurs only in the writings of Paul in the New Testament. Paul, purposefully being led by the Holy Spirit, uses this Roman custom to convey a spiritual blessing from or by God to everyone who believes in His Son, Jesus the Christ. It's a blessing, people. It has been used by Rome for some 300 years before Paul. But Paul is the only one who picked up on it and uses it in the writings of the New Testament. He wanted to convey the fullness of the grace and kindness of God to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. Some Christians are satisfied knowing they're eternally saved. But I pray that you want to know more. You want to know about everything that God has for you. So let's look at this word, which comes from the Greek word euios, U-I-O-S, which means adult son. Euios, there are different words for children or sons. Euios is used for an adult son. Plus the verb tithemi, which means to appoint, to place. So our word means to be appointed as an adult son, as a member of the family. For us, it refers to one of the great 34 things we receive at the point of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I meant to do this at the beginning. If you're new to our Bible studies at Spring Vital Bible Church, and you have some questions, please feel free to email me. My email address is very simple. Herman214, the area code, the original area code of Dallas, herman214@aol.com. You can do it anonymously, however you want. Send me your questions. We'll take care of it. If you want a copy of 34 things, write in and request them. We'll get you a copy of 34 things, 34 blessings we received at the point of faith in Jesus Christ. And it has to do with your freedom in Christ. Freedom is a precious word to us in America, politically, and spiritual. But all people, freedom is so vital and is under attack by Satan and the cosmic forces, globalization, so many things to attack our freedom, take away our guns, control spiritual gatherings, religious gatherings. These are wonderful freedoms, people. Right to jury. All these wonderful freedoms we have in our Constitution and Bill of Rights. I hope you have a copy of those and are familiar with them. It's a good thing to do while you're confined. Get a copy of the Constitution. Become familiar with the Bill of Rights that you have as an individual. Now, the moment we believe in Jesus Christ, you are predestined in Christ. And here in Ephesians 1:5, you are predestined to be adopted. The adoption expresses our position, not a relationship, our position. Experientially, we are children spiritually. Positionally, we are adult sons before God, every one of us. With the resurrection, no one will be resurrected as a child. We'll all be resurrected as adult in Christ, with a body just like His, 1 John chapter 4. So, by adoption, every believer, every one of you who have believed in Jesus Christ, no matter how you may fail, no matter how you may live, you are an adult son in Christ before God. Point 4. While the ceremony observed in this Roman custom was quite elaborate, the mechanics of our adoption is supernatural. God the Holy Spirit takes everyone who believes in Jesus Christ at the point of faith in Christ and baptizes us, identifies us, enters us into union with Christ. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. You believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit takes you spiritually and baptizes you, identifies you, puts you into union with Jesus Christ. As an adult son, we are baptized into Christ. We share His status as adult sons before God. Point 5. When were you adopted? Time of adoption. The time of adoption is the point of faith in Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received Him, To them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. You're all adult sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Adoption is coterminous with 33 other blessings every believer receives the moment they believe in Jesus Christ. Roman numeral 6. Paul actually teaches the procedure of our adoption in Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, where an heir is not recognized as a member of the family, say, under the Roman custom. Let's see what Paul does in Galatians 4, chapter 4, verse 1. Now, I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is an owner of everything, based on Roman custom. But he is under guardians and managers, teachers, who themselves are slaves generally, until the date set by the father. Verse 3, so it is. We, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elementary things of the world, Mosaic law. But then in verse 4, all this changes under the custom of adoption. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under law. Now look at the progress of adoption. Verse 5. So that, very important in read, don't speed read past, but so that, therefore, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as adult sons. Because you are sons, adult sons, God has sent forth his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. In Galatians 3, he has graciously supplied us with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Why did he do that? Why is the giving of every believer the Holy Spirit so important to God? One, he seals us. No believer can lose their salvation. I don't care what they do. I don't care if they denounce Christ. I don't care if they live an immoral life. You cannot lose your salvation. Thank God. It's not up to you. It's up to him. He saved you. He preserves you forever and ever. So the Holy Spirit is a sealing ministry. But secondly, the Holy Spirit was given for our experiential life. We live here on earth. We want to love as Christ loved, the new commandment. We want to learn Scripture. We want to learn it correctly. We have to do it by the Holy Spirit. We want to witness for Christ in the power of the Spirit. We want to pray in the power of the Spirit. Again, it's so important to know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. People, give thanks for adoption. Because of this blessing, we have the privilege of praying to the Sovereign God, our Heavenly Father. We can say this because we are, by adoption, adult sons of God. Add to this the power and leading of the Holy Spirit, we have the right and privilege of prayer. Why some Christians do not want to pray to God the Father and pray to Jesus Christ or even to the Holy Spirit is beyond me. Jesus Christ came, people, to take us to the Father. He came to earth to take us to the Father. People, think of what you're doing when you pray. I don't care if it's Thanksgiving for a hamburger. Thank God for what you're doing. Think of what you're doing. You're talking to the sovereign, omnipotent God, ruler of all the world. He is the sovereign God. He has a plan for all history. He has a plan for your life. Thank God. And think about that when you pray. So this is why Christians have the right to pray to God the Father. Now, that brings us to Roman numeral point 7. Why did God the Father decide to adopt all believers of the church age? Why did God make the decision to decide to adopt all believers of the church age? Because of His love. Look at Ephesians 1:4, the end of verse 4. In love, He predestined us to adoption. Not because you merited it. Not because you earned or deserved it. See, even in the Roman custom, the child, the boy had to learn military, had to learn philosophy, had to learn a lot of things, and grow up, and be skilled and ready to become a citizen of Rome. You're not adopted because you earned or deserved it. We are adopted because you're in Christ. Because of who you are in Christ, you are adopted to God. So, to do this requires to understand God's love is to talk about what few biblically understand, and that's divine love. To do so requires an understanding of His perfect righteousness, a perfect understanding of the correct translation of John 3:16, 1 John 4:19, Ephesians 1:4-5. Biblically, understanding divine love, it will be easy to understand why there is an eternal lake of fire and an eternal heaven. No problem if you understand God's love. He's not willing that any perish without Him. He sent His Son, that's His love, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Roman numeral 8. In the Roman custom, the son was given a ring and a beautiful robe. In our adoption, God has given us some 34 things handed to you the moment you believe in Christ. Among these, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And because of adoption and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we can pray, Abba, Father. Romans 8:14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Only those who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior have the gift of adoption and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, for you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as adult sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Point 9, a passage that is a problem to many is not really that difficult. Romans 8:23. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. This is an encouraging teaching on adoption. We are adopted by God the moment we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, or the redemption of our souls. But we have hope, a confidence of the future, and that adoption of our bodies, that is, our resurrected bodies. When I hear people who died because of COVID-19, I think these are mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters. They have people related to them. These are not just statistics. These are people. But I want to tell you what I pray. I pray they knew Christ as Savior. I pray they didn't say no to Him. I pray they said yes to Him. And if they did, they had the assurance of the resurrection, minus the inherited sin nature. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. I enjoy telling my wife, just think in heaven, I won't have a sin nature. You'll really love me then. She says sometime, well, I think I'll wait till then. But in jest, but no sin nature in our resurrected body. Every time I do a graveside, I like to point out, this is a place of victory. This is a place of victory. on some morning, I don't know why to say morning, but some time, point in time, Jesus Christ is going to call us, and the dead in Christ shall rise. We who are alive will join them, and we'll go up in our resurrected bodies and be with Him forever and ever, and have the Holy Spirit in your resurrected body forever and ever. You cannot lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He is there forever. It is our status, our position in time, in the present. We're adopted adult sons, and therefore we can live as adult sons by living and walking in the power of the Spirit. And we have our hope in the future of our resurrected body. So if someone close to you dies, yes, we sorrow. Yes, we sorrow. But not as the world sorrows. We have the hope. It was a sorrowful day in my life when my mother died. But I want to tell you something. I have the joy, the peace, and the enthusiasm that I'll see her again for all eternity. So we have a hope and a confidence. Let's go to point 10. Adoption is so important to every believer who believes in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Why? Because however you fail in this life, after believing in Jesus Christ your Savior, whatever your trend of sin may be, whatever bad decisions you may make in this life, all this was set aside when you were adopted at salvation. The omniscience of God knew. People, He knew everything we were going to do, yet He saved us. Don't pride yourself, well, I haven't committed any really bad sins. Any sin separates us from God. There are people who live in lifestyle of sin. See? Adultery. Homosexuality. Pedophiles. Name those as the worst. But people, we all live in patterns of sin. Don't be arrogant. And don't deny. Every one of us have a trend of sin. A trend of sin. And whatever your trend of sin is, it does not nullify you being an adult son in Jesus Christ. He cannot deny His own. Point 11. What is very important is that by our adoption, we are different from believers of other dispensations. Our adoption is given to us by God so that we are in the plan of God in Christ. In the age of the Gentiles, not so. In the age of Israel, not so. In the tribulation, not so. In the millennium, not so. Only in the church age are we adopted sons in Christ. We're the bride of Christ. Wake up, bride. Take it seriously who you are in Christ. Along with the blessing of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we are in full-time Christian service. We are to rely on the blessings of adoption so that we may advance spiritually, maturely. Coming up, I don't know when, Ephesians 4:13. I hope I finish Ephesians before the Lord calls me home. I remember when I started Romans, a good friend of mine in Hot Springs, she wrote, we were in chapter 1, she said, when you started the book of Romans, I prayed that God would let me live till you finish the whole book. Now I just pray to God let me live till you finish chapter 1. So I don't know how long it's going to take. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. If you have the printout, kid has it here for you. Hebrews 5, 14. But solid food, advanced teaching, sound doctrine, is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Hebrews 6, 1. Therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about Christ, let us press on to maturity. People, some preachers just give the same message in different words every Sunday. The people don't grow. You have to have different advanced food. advanced teaching. Okay, let us press on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. God the Son for salvation, God the Holy Spirit for experiential sanctification. So the divine intent of our adoption is that we advance to spiritual maturity in our life. Adoption in the church age is for the purpose of in our life, responsibility, a planned life. Adoption means being given the rights, the power, and authority of Christ to fulfill His glory on earth during His absence. People, Jesus Christ is not here. He's gone. No one can see Christ. The disciples saw Christ. And in case you think, well, that must have been great, let me remind you, Christ said to them, it's good that I leave. It's good that I leave. Because when I leave, my Spirit will come. And He will lead you. See, if Christ were here, we'd all want to be where He is. Everybody would want to be in Texas because that's where Christ would be. I know He's not going to do that. Everybody would want to be in Jerusalem because that's where He'd be. What are we going to eat? What's He going to eat? Where's He going to go tomorrow? Where are we going to go? Well, people, we're all over the world now. The body of Christ is all over the world. We're not even a nation. We're over the whole world. We're the body throughout the world. So, a person in Pakistan who is a Christian undergoing persecution led by the Holy Spirit. A person in Brazil. A person in Italy. In America. In China. Wherever you are, if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit to guide you where you should go that day. What you should say, think, and do that day. Adoption is designed for blessings in time, as in Romans 8:15, and blessings in eternity, Romans 8:23. In this case, the more you grasp and understand your adoption, you have no fear of life, no fear of coronavirus, no fear of life. See, on this earth, you have no fear of physical death, entering into the eternal blessings. You have a challenge as adult sons in Christ to live your life to glorify Christ. Dear people, live each day as an adopted adult son in Christ. Grow in His Word. Tell others of Christ. Fulfill your mission. Fulfill your happiness. It's yours by God's design. Hopefully I'll see you Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Book of Ezekiel. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your precious Word. We've gone through Your Word looking at a wonderful blessing You've given to every one of us, adoption as adult sons, and what that means and the challenge of it. And we want to meet that challenge. We want to grow in the Word. We want to be used by You to tell others of Christ. We want to be used by You to have our home, our marriage, our home, our children, a glorification of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You that You've made us adult sons. We thank You for You've given us Your Spirit and You've given us Your Word. I pray Your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning to the honor and glory of Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen.